Begin the current daf, Masechtas Erech and daf Chaf Hei. Begin 7 lines down with the top of the Yomot, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which spoke about this topic of the hektish of the Steachuza regarding redeeming it, which goes according to a 50-year Yevil cycle, and according to the amount of years left, that's how much a person has to pay. Now that the Mishnah qualified, as our Gemara quotes, Ein mechashven chadash mechulav. We don't calculate months. We go, if there's 5 years left, so it's 5 slum and 5 punyonim. Like we said, we prorated based on the 50 slum per the 50 years. But we don't count months, like to say, oh, okay, 5.5 years, so it's going to be 5.5. No, you go according to the years, you don't calculate the months. Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa that elaborates on this and says, Minayin, where do we know this halacha from? She'im mechashven chadashim im hektish. That we don't calculate months when regarding the redeeming something from hektish. Tamalema, so that's what the pasuk teaches in the Yikra. It says, V'chishav lehakoyin esai kesem. The Kohen will calculate the amount of money that he has to give for redeeming the steachuza that was sanctified. Alpi ha'shalim ha'nesaris, according to the amount of years that are left. Meaning, whatever is left, we're calculating by years. Shalim ha'tamachashim, you calculate years, v'yatamachashim chadashim, but you don't calculate months. Now, however, continues the Braisa, which was the halacha that our Mishnah then concluded with, and says, Minayin, but where do we know? Shemata reitza lasa chadashim lashana, but if you, the Kohen, want to make months into years, meaning you want to calculate the amounts of months that have already passed as if it was already a year, and then it's going to be the gain of hektish, that oisa, that then the Kohen could do that. And hechidim, what would the case be? What would hektish gain? If anything, the gain that it's not a year, then the person who's redeeming it has to give that selam punim for that year. It would be kugoin da akdashe palga da arboin b'tamni. It would be, for example, if someone sanctified his field in the 48th year of the 50-year Yevil cycle. Where, if in this situation you're going to calculate the months that have already passed as if they already passed, so then that's going to make that the amount of time left until Yevil is less than 2 years. Then, as we explained in the previous stuff, that it does not get redeemed with Giruah, with them diminishing according to the amount. Rather, you actually have to give a full 50 slum. That's a huge gain for Hektish. Instead of getting 2, they're getting 50. Tamalayma, so how do you know that you could do that then to calculate months? So the Pasuk says, V'chishav la'kohen, the Kohen will calculate for him, which sounds like b'kam malkum, whatever the calculation is, the Kohen will do even months in the situation where it's Ravcha the Hektish, that Hektish will gain, then we do calculate months for Hektish. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of our perek from the previous Mishnah of Hamakdash Sadeu. Someone sanctified his ancestral field, b'shas ha'yevul, at a time when the halacha of yevul applies. Because at a time when yevul doesn't apply, with certain conditions that for the halacha of yevul to apply, then actually if someone is makdash his field, he redeems it according to his actual market value, like anything that a person is makdash. But the unique halacha that we're about to describe is specifically at a time when someone's makdash his steachuza, when the laws of Yevil apply. So then, Nisin Bezera, Chaymer Sa'irim, he gives the amount of planting, a Chaymer, which is a kur, a certain measurement of barley, how much that would, that area of land that would be required to plant a Chaymer of barley. When he wants to redeem that amount of land, he gives chamishim shekel kesef. That's the 50 silver shekel. And again, that we said accordingly to the amount of years left, you give a selam punyan less. Now, qualifies the Mishnah, hayusham nekoyim amukim asar tefachim. Let's say in that land, there were these clefts, there were these cracks in the ground that were 10 tefachim deep. Oy slom gevoyim asar tefachim, or in the opposite direction, or there were these rocks, these rocky terrain that was 10 tefachim high. Says the Mishnah, they're not measured together with the rest of the field to be redeemed with this halacha of chamishim shekel kesem. Rather, they get redeemed according to their actual value that they are, and the rest of the field goes according to the calculation of the 50 slum per the base core. Now, pachis mikam, but if that cleft or that rock is less than 10 tefachim, then it gets measured, it's considered part of the ground, and hence for the 50 shalom of the chaymer of the planting a chaymer of sarim. Another halacha continues the Mishnah. If someone sanctifies his field 2 or 3 years before Yevil is coming up, so then he doesn't give the full 50 shalom, like we explained in the previous stuff. Nason selo punyan l'shana, gives a sela and a punyan for the amount of years left up until Yevil. Now, Be'amama, let's say he says, okay, Harini Nesin Dabar Shana B'Shana, I'm going to give the amount of the Sela and the Punyan every year in its year. I can't give it up front right now. Ain't Shemile, we don't listen to him. Ela Nesin is Kula Ke'echad, has to give all of that amount right now when he's coming to redeem it. Now, the Mishnah says, Echad Bailam Echad kol ha'adam. This halacha applies regarding the redeeming of a chaimra of sa'irim with 50 shekel kesef is for anyone, whether it's the owner redeeming it or some other person redeeming it, and whether the field is worth 1,000 shekelim or whether it's even only worth 5 shekelim. Either way, the gzeis kesef is that it's always going to be 50 shekelim. Now, says the Mishnah, that ma bein bayim l'chol adam. What's the difference if the owner who is makdish it redeems it or someone else? The difference is that the owner, when he's coming to redeem it, he has to add on a fifth to that amount. Which, as the pasuk says, if the one who was sanctified, the owner, he's coming to redeem it, then the pasuk says he has to give a fifth. However, any other person who's redeeming it doesn't have to add on a fifth to that principal amount. They just give the 50 shekel kesef. Now, the Gemara brings Tana Braisa that elaborates on this halacha of our Mishnah. Regarding this halacha of redeeming it with zeruch chaim esayim, that you give a chamishim shekel kesef with that amount. So how do we evaluate? How do we qualify an area of land that's planted with a chaim of esayim? So the Braisa says it's a kur zera. It's where you could plant a kur of barley. But like kur tfua, it's not the amount of land that you would reap from it a kur, which is this measurement of grain, which that would be much less than a kur of seed, where a kur of grain that you would reap would be proportionately a third of a kur or a quarter of a kur of what could be planted. Rather, the halach is that there you would only give the chamishim shekel kesef according to that amount. But we don't qualify based on the kur as a measurement of how much you're reaping. To the contrary, when you a seed, if one's measuring, one's quantifying that amount, seed, you get much more for what you're planting, and therefore it's the more stringent area of kur zera, which is how much you can plant, and not kur tvua, which is much less. Additionally, says the Braisa, my pile is yad. We're talking about when you're throwing it by hand, meaning you're sowing the field by hand, v'loy ma pile shvarm, and not by plowing, not by sowing it, the field, planting it with oxen. Because what they used to do is they would take sacks full with seed and they would put it on the oxen and the oxen would walk and it would have these holes in the sacks on the bottom, very wide holes, and they would go on where the field was plowed and the seed would fall and then it would plant the plantation. Now, the area that of the land that gets the seed by hand is a larger area of land. Because you're not getting so much falling out at the same time, whereas regarding when the oxen are doing it, it's huge holes, tons are falling out. So if you're taking this amount of seed by oxen, it's not going to be that much of a large area of land. Whereas by hand, and again, those are the two stringencies, that it's a core of zera, how much you're planting, and which is obviously much more than that the area of how much you get for the grain, and it's also what's done by hand and not by oxen. Now, additionally, Tana Levi, he says, Leima Uba, says we don't evaluate this seed in how much land it would be required to plant it when you're putting a lot of seed in one place, which if you did that, that would be the loss of the one who's redeeming it, because he would have to give 50 shekel kesef for a very small piece of land. But Veloy Medak, neither is it very small, sparsely planted, because that would be the loss of hektish, because then there would be a huge area of what you call where you're going to put a base core of seed, which you could redeem just with 50 shekel kesef. Alabaini, rather, it's the intermediate, that as the normal medium type, that's how you would plant by hand, as we said, and a core of seed, that's amount of land that you redeem with chamishim shekel kesef. Now the Mishnah had said, Ha'isham nekoim amuk mechul. And with these cracks in the ground that are deep, 10 tefachim deep, so then that's not something that could be planted, and therefore that doesn't qualify for what the pasuk talks about of zera chaim esayrim. So therefore that's not considered part of it. Now the Gemara asks this as a question and says, but why? V'likadshu, let these cracks in the ground be sanctified by their own selves, and then let them be redeemed according to the calculation of the 50 shekel kesef for a base kur. What do you gain that you're saying, okay, you're saying it's 10 tefachim deep. So you view it as a different area than the field itself. So you can't calculate it as the field itself to be part of the same calculation. Fine, so it's its own field. But then what do you gain by making it its own field? You're still going to calculate it according to the measurement of a zeruch chaim esayim v'chamishim shekel kesef. Now, the Gemara says, oh, v'chitim, if you're going to say, no, kivin de lava beis kur lo abakachi, no, since it's not a beis kur, it's just a small little crack in the ground, just 10 tefachim deeper, so you can't calculate as part of the field, so therefore, it's not going to be have its own sanctification if it's considered its own field, because it's not a beis kur. But v'tanya lenda b'risa, not like that, the b'risa says, today. Said in the pasuk, a field. So, Matam Alema, what is the teaching is? Because the pasuk could have said, if from his ancestry he's going to sanctify this, which we're talking about a field because we're talking about planting, why does it say sade? Says the Brais Lafish Nema, because the pasuk says, Zera chaymes sa'ar mechamishim shekel kasef. Planting a chaymer of barley, you redeem it 50 silver shekel. Now, Emli Elish Hekdesh Kinyazet. So, I would have only known that if you sanctify exactly like the way the pasuk says it, a complete base core. Menayin l'rabis lesach. How do we know to include even the lesach, which is a half a kor, or v'chatzi lesach, which is half of that, or saw, which is less than that, or v'tarkiv, which is a half a saw, because the word tarkiv is trei v'kav, two and a kav, which is three kav, and which is a half of a saw, because there's six kav in the saw. Or even v'chatzi tarkiv, even a half a tarkiv, how do I know that if someone sanctifies that accordingly, that's how much you can also redeem it with that same measurements, proportionally. Tamalem is sada, mekamakam, that says the word field, whatever the field is. So then, again, we're back to the question. Why? What do you gain by separating the Nekayim from the rest of the field? Anyway, you're going to redeem it according to the same evaluation of what the Pasuk says. So Maruk V'Pacham, it says, Here we're talking about cracks that are filled with water. You're right, if they were regular cracks, which you could plan, so then, yeah, you would go according to the same ratio, and then you wouldn't gain anything by saying it's separate from the rest of the field. But here it's filled with water where you can't plant. Then you don't qualify for zera chayim resayim. It's not plantable, and therefore it doesn't have this gezeirus hakasav, and therefore you're going to redeem it according to its actual value. Dekanami says, the Gemara, the precise reading, it seems to indicate this, because diktani dumi deslam. The other case that the halacha compares it to is to rocky terrain. Shmaminot, same idea, just like there you can't plant, so to here, and therefore, once it's considered at least 10 tefachim of a difference, In the vertical distance, so therefore then it's not going to be redeemed with part of the field. Now, says the Gemara, but if that's the case, then even if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's filled with water, so then you can't plant it there either, so then why is that included in Zeruchai Mesayim? Says the Gemara, no, Hanu, those cracks that are less than 10 tefachim are negani, they're the basins, the containers of the Ara Mikru, of that contain the water of the ground, that's what they're called. But they're considered part of the ground, and that's their name. They're not considered a distinct area by themselves. And so too, the rocks, the rocky terrain that are less than 10 tefachim high, shidr da'aramikru, they're called the spine of the land, just like the spine of an animal. So when the animal is walking in a horizontal, the spine sticks out a little bit higher than the rest of the animal. So too, these rocky terrain sticks a little bit more, but it's considered the spine of the land. It's considered part of the land. More than 10 tefachim, that's already considered a distinct area. And then you're right, it's not going to have the halacha of chamishim shekel kasav, rather according to their market value. Now, the Mishnah said, Kedisha shtayim v'shalish v'chulu. Someone sanctifies his field 2 or 3 years before Yevul, so he gives, accordingly, a sela and a punyan per year. Now, Tarmon Linda Braisa, that it qualifies this halacha even a bit more. The Pasuk says, and this is the halacha that says, if after the Yevul he sanctifies his field, so the kohen's going to calculate the money accordingly to how many years are left until the year of Yevul. And it ends off the pasuk with nigra me erkecha, and therefore it's going to diminish from the value that you have to give for the redemption of this de'achuzah. Says the Braisa, af min ha-hektish, even from hektish, meaning, just like we diminish from those years which it was in his field that he was the owner before he sanctified it, because that was not considered part of a sanctification, so too says the Braisa, we're going to diminish from those years that it was in the hands of hektish, from when he sanctified it up until the time that he redeemed it. Meaning to say that he only has to pay the amount from when he's redeeming it, not from when it was makdash. As the Brice explains, Shem Achla Hektish Shano Ishtayim, where if Hektish has been using this field the last year or two, or Yinami Loyachlo, even if they didn't eat from this field, where let's say the treasure of Hektish didn't plant anything in this field that this person sanctified, and they didn't lease it out to any person, but Elishahis Lavana, but rather was in front of the hands of Hektish, but Hektish had possession of it, and this person didn't redeem it yet. that Naisen Selo Punyan Lashana, that still he's going to give a Selo Punyan how much it passed from the previous Evil up until the time that he redeemed it, those are not going to be counted. You qualify the amount he has to pay for when he redeems it, not when from his Makdash. So even if Hektish had it in those times, when you're redeeming it, you don't redeem it for the amount that Hektish had it, but rather from the amount that he's having it from when he's redeeming it up until the Yevil year. Now the Mishnah said, Vim Amar. Now if the Redeemer is saying, Harini Nesin V'chulu, look, I'll give the Selim Punyan every single year, but I'm not going to give it all at one time, so the Mishnah, he can't do that. So Tarmon Lin, the Brisa, explains this halacha, Menayin Shem Amar B'ayim. Where do we know that if the owners say, Harini Nesin Dover Shana B'shana, look, we'll give the amount of a Selim Punyan every single year in its year, Shein Shem Lehem, we don't listen to them. Tamalim, the Pasuk teaches, V'chishiv Lehakoin HaSakesim. The Kohen calculates for him the money, which is Achei Kesem Kulikecha, until all the money is in one shot, you can't give it every single year. Now, the Braisa says, as we said in the Mishnah, Echad Ba'alam Echad Kaladim, Salach applies to the owners, to any single person that's redeeming. And Ma Bein Ba'alam Kaladim, what's the difference between the owners and every single other person? Sha'ba'alam Naisen Chaimish, when the owners redeem, they don't just give that amount, they add on a fifth, V'chaladim Naisen Chaimish, but every single other person that redeems it doesn't add on a fifth. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on these halachas of sanctifying the stechus and redeeming it. So the Mishnah says, Hikdisha v'ga'ala. If the one who sanctified, the owner sanctified his ancestral field and he redeemed it, so in the Yetzim Yad B'Yevel, so then it doesn't leave his possession when the Yevel year comes around to then be split up and divided amongst the Kehanim, how it would have been if, let's say, some other person would have redeemed it. Then the halacha is that it goes out in Yevel and it gets divided by the Kehanim, like the Pasuk says in Mikacham Zayin, that the field goes out in the Yevel year and it goes and split amongst the Kehanim. But when the owner himself redeems it, then he holds on to it. Moreover, Gala Benai, if his own son redeemed it, also Yetzalah of B'Yevel, it goes out in the Yevel year to his father, not to the Kehanim, as the Gemara will learn out in a Braisa. However, Gala Acher, but let's say someone else redeems the field. Oyechad Makarevim, one of his relatives redeems it from the treasurer, and then the one who sanctified comes. V'Gala Miyadai, and redeems it from this relative who had bought it from Hektish. In this situation, even though the owner has it now, it will leave his possession in the Yevil year and get divided by the Kehanim, because just like it would have been taken away from the relative who was the one who redeemed it from Hektish, which he's only secondary from that person's rights, because he's taking it from him who that person got it from Hektish, and just like when that person would have it, it would be taken away and given to the Kehanim, so even if the owner has it right now, it will be taken away and given to the Kehanim. Now, continues the Mishnah, Gala Echad Min Kehanim. Let's say one of the Kehanim, it's up for sale, the Hektish could sell it up until the Yevil year, and one of the Kehanim goes and redeems it from the hand of the treasurer. Now, when the Yevil year is hitting, the Kohen is in possession of it because he's the one that redeemed it. Says the Mishnah, Lo Yomer, he cannot say the following Svara. Hoyle, since if a regular person, a non Kohen, would redeem it, and it would be, then go out and be given to the Kohen by the Yevil year. Now, I'm in possession of it because I redeemed it, so no other Kohen is better than me, and therefore it should be mine. No, you don't say that. It's taken away from his possession. It's divided amongst the Kohanim that the Yevil year falls out, and in that Mishmer, it's divided amongst them. He doesn't get to hold on to it because he happens to have been the one who redeemed it. Ketim Damid Beis, where the Gemara brings Tarban Abraisa that explains Halacha by Mishnah. Pasuk says in Yikra, Im lo yigal esa sade, if he doesn't redeem the field. Now, who's that referring to? That's Bailam, that's referring to the owner. So the Pasuk continues, V'machar esa sade, so if he's going to sell the field, who's that referring to? Gizbar, that's the treasure of Hektish. Who is he selling it to? Le'ish achar, to another man, which that's what the next pasuk afterwards follows with saying, "Oh, v'ha'ya sada b'tzeis v'yevul." So when the field is going to be taken away from him, the Yevil year, that's going to be divided amongst the Kehanim. Now, says the Braisa, what that teaches us is that la'acher, when is it taken away from the owner? If someone else bought it, then it's in the Yevil year given to the Kehanim. It's only when it's la'acher, when it's sold to someone else, v'loy leben, but not regarding his son. Meaning, like our Mishnah said, if his son redeems it, then it's not taken out and given to the Kehanim, but rather goes back to his father. Now, says the Braisa, is that really when we say to someone else, which is coming to say some foreign, not related to the father, we say, oh, that means to say we're saying it's only when it's someone else and not for the son? Or maybe it's actually coming to exclude and saying, when does it go to the Kehanim? Only when it's sold to someone else, but not to his brother. Maybe when his brother redeems it, then it goes back to him and not to son. No, says the Braisa, when it says in the Pasuk, when it says, Ish Acher, Ish, that's a man that's coming to include someone. Hare ach amar. So that already tells us the brother that he's like an ach or someone else that when the yevili comes out, it goes into the kanon. So haman mikayim achar. So what am I including when I'm saying someone else, as if to say, well, that's not related to the father. That's v'lo laben. That excludes the son, because if the son redeems it, it does go back to his father. Now, says the Braisa, Umari Isla Rabbis Saben, Leit Sisach, where'd you see fit? You have one terminology including and one excluding. Where'd you see to include the son, that then it will go back to the father, and to exclude the brother? Says the Braisa, Mabri Ani Haben, I'll include the son, that he'll be like the father. She can come tachas aviv liyida. We see he takes his father's place for the halacha of Yud, which is if his father purchased an Amavriya, which is a Jewish maidservant, a regular Jewish girl, that the father, when she was under 12, sold her as a maidservant. So the halacha of Yud, which is the father, the owner of the maidservant, he could use the money that he used to purchase her for her money of Kedushin. Now there's an additional halacha that the Torah says that if the son wants to be miyayid her, which is if he doesn't want to spend money to make Kedushin to engage her, he could go ahead and use that same money that his father used to purchase the maidservant, he could use that money to engage this Jewish girl. As the Gemara explains in the first parak condition of your testament base. So see, he takes his father's place for the Yid money. And additionally, Ula Eved Ivri. He also takes his father's place for the Jewish slave, which is that the Jewish slave serves the son if his master, the father, dies within the mandatory 6 years that the slave has to work. However, he doesn't serve the brother. If, let's say, his master died without any children and the brother inherits, this guy doesn't serve the brother, as the Gemara explains in the first parak condition of Yitzayim Abayis. So therefore, says the Gemara here also, we're going to apply that the son will take the father's place in the steachuza. Just like when the father buys it back, it doesn't get taken out of his possession to be divided amongst the kanim. So too, if a son redeems it, it doesn't go out to be given to the kanim in the yevil year. To which the Braisa says, no, other, but to the contrary. Maybe I'll include the brother. He takes his brother's place by yibum, which is when he dies without any children, his brother, although generally a sister-in-law is prohibited to marry, but he takes over his brother's role in marrying the wife if there's no children. So maybe he should take over his role also with the steachuza. Says the Braisa, no. The whole benefit that you're saying, the whole status of the brother, that you're saying maybe he should be better than the son, is because of Yibum. The whole halacha of Yibum is only when there is no son. Hayesh ben ein Yibum, when there is a son, when there's a child, there's no halacha Yibum. So you can't say that would make him better than the son when the son is only when he's not there that Yibum applies. So therefore, we say the son is stronger in taking over the rights of the father, and therefore he's the one that if he redeems it goes back to the father. Now the Gemara wonders regarding the Bryce's answer. Why do you have to say that? But typically, even without that answer, it should be sufficient to say we're including the son and not the brother, because here, by the son, you have two things that he takes the father's place, and by the brother, you only have one. So why do you have to say this whole logic of why do you have to say that for? Says the Gemara, Mishum, because this whole idea that the son takes the father's place regarding the Eved Ivri by the Jewish slave, that's not learned out from a pasuk. Rather, mehai pircha namihu denafkale. From this same refutation is actually the reason and the rationale of where we actually know he takes his father's place by the Eved Ivri. Klum yesh yibum el b'makom shein ben. Is there yibum only somewhere where there's no son? Because as the Gemara Kedushin of Yitzayim Beis explains, the same discussion they have regarding over there. They say, wait, where do you see it to include the son that he takes over by the Eved Ivri and to exclude the brother, says the Gemara over there? Well, I'll include the son because he takes over his father's place for the halach of Yiyud, of regarding the condition of the Amavriya. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean to the contrary? Include the brother who takes the father's place for Yibum. And that answers the Gemara over there. What are you talking about? Yibum? Yibum's only when there's no son. So you can't say that's a benefit over the son. Now, if not for this refutation of Klum Yesh Yibum, we actually would not know that the son takes over by Eved Ivri. And then you would only have Yud for the son, and you would have Yibum for the brother. So therefore, it wouldn't be sufficient to say, oh, there you have two, there you have one. But why do you have two? Don't include Eved Ivri. It's only because of this svara which we're applying for Eved Ivri. We're applying over here regarding Steachuza too, of what do you mean? The whole benefit that the brother would have over the son is Yibum, and Yibum is nothing, because only when there's no son. When there's a son, then you don't even have your strength of taking over in the situation of Yibum. Now, Bai Rabba Baravu, he asked, so we said, okay, when there's a son and he redeems it, it goes back to the father. So he asks, Bas Mahu Shetamet Sadalavia. What's the halacha? Let's say the daughter redeems her father's ancestral field from the hand of the treasurer. What's the halacha? Will it go back to her father in the Yevil year and not to the Kanan? So the Gemara explains what the question is. Since regarding the halacha of Yibum, Benu baski adodi patri. If a person dies and he has either a son or a daughter, there is not going to be yibum, and so their daughter is equivalent to a son. So mukma, so she also has the same svar, this logic of being strength of taking over the position of the father, and therefore when she redeems it, will go back to the father. Idilma, maybe no. Since it regards to laws of an inheritance, which is what we're talking about, steyachuz, it's ancestral field. Bas b'mokem ben, the daughter, in contrast or in place of the son, ki acher dam, she's considered like another, like we said in the pasuk, like the, when it's sold to another person, doesn't go back to the father, and it's only the son who's not like another, and the daughter in regards to the son is like another because she gets nothing. So loy mokma, when she redeems it, it should not go back to the father. Tashmar says the Gemara, yeah, the Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, we learned in the Brayse of Rabbi Shmuel, the kol shu acher b'mokem ben, whoever is considered an other in regards to the son, meaning when there's a son, this person's like another, and then will not take over the place. The daughter's also like another, like gets nothing from the inheritance when there's a son, and therefore, since she's like an acher, when she'll redeem it, it won't go back to the father in the area. Similar type of questioning, Bayrib Zayrib says, Isha, a woman that sanctifies her sade miluk. There's two types of properties, primarily, that a woman brings into the marriage. There's the nichsit ser barzel, which, for all practical purposes, it's really considered like now her husband's. And then there's nichsi miluk, which is, for all practical purposes, is hers, but the husband gets to utilize it, gets some benefits out of it. So regarding that property, that's hers. Mi maimid lo sadev, so if she sanctifies such a field, who could go ahead and redeem it from Hektish that it will not go back to the Khan in the Yevil year? Let's say in a situation where she cannot redeem it. Is there anyone else that could be like where the son is to the father for this woman? So the Gemara explains the question. Would you say Baal Mokimla, her husband, could go ahead and redeem it and then make it go back to her in the Yevil year, Shekein Yerusha, because she's similar to what the son is to the father, because he inherits his wife even when she has a son. The husband inherits, not the son, like the pasuk says, V'yarish Isa, he inherits her, which the Gemara Babasik of Yeralfam basically explains, that the husband inherits his wife. So therefore, maybe he would if he redeems it, he would go back to her. Aydemo, maybe actually Ben Mokimla. Maybe the son would actually make it go back to her, because in a situation where the son inherits, Shekein Noitel Barau, we find that he takes even properties that are fit for her to get, meaning she doesn't have now when she's dying, but it's going to come to her and mature or whatever it is in 10 years from now. The son takes that inheritance, kibemuchzik, like something that she's in possession of before she dies. In contrast, the husband who inherits his wife doesn't take what she will potentially get. It's only what she has right now, as the Gemara says in Yeshneichel, Mabasa, Kafir Gimel Manalf. So maybe it's the son that will take the place. So the Gemara take a listen, it's not clear who is it that takes the place of the mother, that would be considered like what a son is to the father, who if they redeem it, is not like an achar, rather would go back to the woman in the Yevil year. Now, Baimene Rama Bar Chamim Rav Chizli says, Hikdisha paches mishtei shon lefnei ha-yevil. Someone sanctified his field less than 2 years before the Yevil year. Now, someone else came, and he redeemed the field. Now, not with Girua, not with a sell of punya per year, that's what I explained in the previous daf. When it's less than 2 years, you have to give the full 50 slum. So he gave the full 50 slum, even though he's going to have only a year and change or whatever it is. Now, the question, however, he asked was, now that someone else redeemed it, generally when someone redeems a field, it goes back to the Kahanim, if it wasn't the owner who redeemed it. What's in this case, when he had sanctified it and someone redeemed it less than 2 years before Yevil, will it go out to the Kahanim of the Yevil year like another, like any other Steachuza that gets redeemed by someone else? So Malais Rav Chizda said to him, my Daitach, what exactly is your understanding that you have this thought to ask to say that it shouldn't go to the Kahanim of the Yevil year? Probably because you're saying, it says in the Pasuk, V'nigra me'erkecha, that you'll diminish from the obligation of how much you have to pay according to how many years there's left, which is said as a sela and punya per year. And then the pasuk says later on, and then the field's going to go out in the Yevil year, and it's going to go to the Kahanim. So you want to say, oh, the baski roin in. Only something that you're evaluating it according to the diminishment of per year, then that something in the Yevil year goes back to the Kahanim. But the lav baski roin loy, but something that doesn't have that halacha, then it's not going to go back to the Kahanim. And here, since it's within the final 2 years, it's the red zone, you don't have the halacha of Giruah, you give the full 50 slum, so maybe it shouldn't go out to the Kahanim in the Yevil year. And that's the Rav Chisda. No, adrabah, to the contrary. The pasuk right before that it talks about that in the Yevil year goes out to the Kahanim, Not like the pasuk you're quoting b'nigger merkachas, which a few pasukim before. The pasuk right before, adjacent to it, says im lo yigal hasade. If the owner doesn't redeem it, then the next pasuk says v'haya hasade b'tzeis b'yevul. Then the field's going to go out in the yevul year and it's going to go to the Gehanim. Now, b'hainami baskuli, this field, even though it was sanctified and redeemed within the last 2 years, it is a field that could be redeemed. Not through Giruin, but with the full 50 slum. And since it's baskula, it will have the halacha that going out in the Yevil year to the Kehanim and not to the owner. The Mishnah said, Gala echad mekehanim v'chulu. If one of the Kehanim redeem it, so etc., we said that he doesn't get to hold on to it, he's got to give it back like any person, and then it gets split up amongst the Kehanim of that Mishnah. So we're talking about one of the Braisa that elaborates on this halacha and quotes the pasuk that says that the field's going to go out in the Yevil year, it's going to be sanctified to Hashem, like a field of a cherim, which says, L'koyin tiachuzasa, and it's going to be for the koyin as his ancestry. Now, matam alema, what does it mean when it's saying achuzasa? It could just say, L'koyin tiach, it should be for the koyin. So it says the Braisa is coming to allude to this halacha. Menayin l'sada sheyitzi l'kahanim, from where do we know that a field that goes out to the Kehanim, meaning that's fit to be given to the Kehanim, b'yevul in the Yevil year, like in the classic situation when the owner sanctifies it and he doesn't redeem it himself, but v'gola echad min the Kehanim, but one of the Kehanim, he goes and he redeems it from the hand of the treasurer. Minayin shalo yemef, where do we know that we shouldn't say, look, ha'el v'yitzel l'kayin, so the Kayin says, since it's anyways going to go out to a Kayin now in the Yevil year, and haritachas yadi, right now it's in my possession anyway, and I'm a kohen, v'teishali, so it should be mine. V'dinu, and logic would dictate this, says the kohen. B'shel acher mani zaycha, in others I merit, meaning if a non-kohen redeemed it, it would leave his hand now in the Yevil year, and I would merit in it with all my other brothers at Kehanim. So b'shel atzmi l'kolshken, so the one that I already have possession of, isn't it a kolshken, and b'shur I should hold on to it? Tamalema, that's what the pasuk's alluding to when it's saying, l'kohen tia achuzasai. For the kohen should be his ancestry, which you could expound as follows. Achuza shalai, his ancestry of the kohen, which he inherited from his father, should be his. But this one, the ein zeh shalai, this is not his. He just redeemed someone else's field in the interim. So haketzatz, rather, how do you do it? Yetzim etachas yad, it's taken away from him, u'mischalekis l'achav ha-kohanim, it gets divided amongst his brothers, the kohanim, but he doesn't get to hold on to it because he happened to be the one that redeemed it. Now the Mishnah qualifies this halacha that we were just talking about. Okay, it reached the Yevil year, the owner didn't redeem it, so he doesn't get to, it doesn't go back to him anymore. Rather, as we were explaining from the pasuk, hakahanim, the kahanim, which of that week that the Yevil year falls out, which is called that Mishmer, they're nechnasim l'techa, they go into the field, and it conclusively becomes theirs. But additionally, v'noisnes demel, they have to give the monetary value of the redemption money of it to Hekdash. That's the Rebbe Yehuda. He says, no, nechnasim loy noisim. They come in, they take the field, and they don't have to pay any money of redemption. Rabbi Eliezer, he says, loy nechnasim v'loy noisim. No, they don't come in, they don't take over the field, and they don't give any money. El nikra sada retushin. If it wasn't redeemed, what happens is, it's called the forsaken field. Until the second yevul cycle. Now, let's say it already reached the next 50 years, and no one redeemed it yet. Nikra sada retushin. So it's called the forsaken of the forsaken. Other Yevul HaShlisha until the third Yevul, which he says, Lo'olam in akan nechnas l'techa, they can never go and enter into the Steachuza field that was sanctified, at Shegelena Acher, until someone else redeems it, and then since someone else redeemed it, then when they reach the Yevul year, then it gets taken from them and given to the Kanim. But unlike the first two opinions, if it wasn't redeemed, the Kanim don't get it. The first two opinions, one said, they get it, they should have to pay. The other one says, they get it, they don't have to pay. He says, no, they don't get it, they don't pay. Someone else has to redeem it, and then it goes to the Kanim. So the Gemara explains, my time in Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason Rabbi Yehuda that he says that the Kohanim go in, they take it over, but they have to pay the money? So says the Gemara, Gomer Kodesh Kodesh Mimakdish Bais. He learns Gzer Shava from someone that sanctifies his house, which the Pasuk says over there, Kiyakdish is basic Kodesh. Someone's going to sanctify his house and make it sanctified, so it says over there Kodesh. It says by the Steachuz, the ancestral field of Mirkachav Zayin, Betzesa B'Yevil Kodesh. When it goes in the Yevil year, it's sanctified. So we learn out, Malahal, and just like over there regarding when someone sanctifies his house, it never leaves the possession of Hekdesh without being bedamim, with monies being given to Hekdesh, like the Pasuk says over there, by Richa Koin, the Koin evaluates it, you have to redeem it from Hekdesh. Now, a house, unlike Steachuza, it never goes out to and being given to the Kehanim. That's actually Gzeris HaKosev, that is uniquely by the loch of the Steachuza, by the ancestral field. But by the house, not given to the Kohen. So it will never leave the possession of Hekdesh until someone goes and actually gives money and redeems it. Safkan, so therefore also over here by the Steachud, which says the word Kaidish, it's not going to leave the possession of Hekdish unless you're going to have Bedam, unless you're going to give money. So therefore, when someone else redeems it, so money was given to the Bedek Abayis of Hekdish. So when the Yevil year comes, so goes out for free to the Kanim. But that's what our Rabbi Yehuda is saying in our Mishnah, but if it wasn't redeemed, so then the Kanim have to give the 50 Shekalim, and then they could take it, because it cannot go out without being redeemed with money from Hekdish. Now, for Rabbi Shimon, who says, no, they go and they take it without any money, Gemar Kodesh, Kodesh, Mekivitz Atzeres. He learns out the Gzeres HaKasim of Kodesh from the halacha of the lambs that are brought on Shavuos. But the Kivitz Atzeres, it says in Vikach of Gimel Kodesh, Yul Hashem L'Kayin, they shall be holy Tashem, which is then given to the Kanim. So, and it says, like we said, Kodesh over here by Steachuzo. So he learns, Malahal Mechinim, just like over there, the Kanim get those lambs, without paying anything, that's part of their Avodah, Avka Mechinim, so over here, by the Steachuzo, they get it, for free, without giving any redemption money. So the Gemara asks, okay, Rabbi Yehuda, Namin Elif Mekivitz Atzeres, why doesn't he learn the Gzeres HaKasav from Kivitz Atzeres? That's also Bechinim. Says the Gemara, Nadon Nikatche Bedek Abayis, he learns that the halacha of things which are sanctified with the sanctity of Bedek Abayis, like Steachuzo, as a continued type of Chovav Manalv, Mikatche Bedek Abayis, from things that have the sanctity of Bedek Abayis, which is like that of sanctifying a house, which is a monetary sanctity. They ain't done in Kachem Bedek Abayis, but Kachem Mizbech. But you don't want the halachas of monetary sanctity from physical sanctity of that of Kachem Mizbech, which is halach of Kivitz Atzeres. So the Gemara asks, Reb Shimon Nami Nelef Mimakdash Bayis. Why did Reb Shimon learn out from two types of Kachem Bedek Abayis, where just like over there you have to give money, so too over here you would have to give money? Says the Gemara, no, done in Davar Shematon Le Kahanim. He learns that something which is a gift to the Kahanim, Midavar Shematon Le Kahanim, something that's also a gift to the Kahanim. Then done and davish and matan lakam, and doesn't learn something which is a gift to the kahanim, which is teachuza midavish and matan lakam, from something that's not a given as a gift to the kahanim, which is because the kivse atzeres, although it's kachem mizbeach, and but they're karbanis, and the teachuza they're from the 24 kahanic gifts, as the pasuk says b'midbiyat ches. So you could learn that one from the other, but a house is not one of the kahanic gifts because that's never given to the kahanim, even if someone else redeems it from hekdesh, it doesn't go in the yevil year to the kahanim. So therefore, he's not going to learn that Kodesh from there, rather he's going to learn that Kodesh from that of the Kivitz Atzeres, and therefore he says, just like over there it's Bechinam, so to over here it's Bechinam.